Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes, indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pouring your cup of coffee, pulling up a stool, and joining the conversation. Coffee and Capitalism brings you exclusive interviews and distinct content from leaders who drive our economy. From CEOs to small business owners to mentors, Coffee and Capitalism is a leader in innovation, ideas, and inspiration. Coffee and Capitalism is about making money and giving back, learning the fine art of balancing work and family life, all while prioritizing your time. On today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we talk a little cryptocurrency, Saudi Arabia, and the energy world, all wrapped together with Chris Ely of WellSite and CrudeCoin. CrudeCoin is a cryptocurrency, and Ely talks about the importance of international partners, distributors, and working with foreign countries on how to make all this bartering system work. Then we talk with Chase Broussard of DealMakers. Chase explains how his past experience managing people, projects, and executing services as a closer has created a niche and a whole new marketplace for him. And then we head down to the ranch and talk with Kevin Lear, president of the North Dakota Buffalo Association and co-owner of the Heartland Bison Ranch. We talk a little ebbs and flows of the bison industry, but also about how they're integrating drones into their day-to-day operation out on the ranch. And then we conclude the program with a little Kids in Capitalism. Multimedia kidrepreneur Otis sits down with the owner of Treasure Island, Chris Olson, and they talk about the value of gold, silver, video games, and Pokemon. We've got a fantastic program today on Coffee and Capitalism Radio. Thank you so much, folks, for joining us. We are very grateful to have your attention here today, and we promise to have a fantastic show. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch Coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavin of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch Coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Chris Ely, CEO of WellSite and CrudeCoin. Outstanding. Thank you for joining us today. And boy, I never thought I would be following up so quickly on this story about WellSite and CrudeCoin, but I got a press release and I just wanted to follow up and find out that this is really happening, isn't it? This CrudeCoin cryptocurrency phenomenon is really happening. Did I see that you guys signed a partner in Saudi Arabia?
We did. We signed an exclusive partnership with Power Team. Power Team is a large oil and gas supplier over in Saudi Arabia and the kingdom, and they're well connected, and we believe that they'll be the partner that we need and the agent we need in the country to elevate our relationships and build our future business in the country of Saudi Arabia.
And let's just recap really quick this CrudeCoin technology, you know, what it's about. Of course, people heard of Bitcoin and a few of the others that were the early adapters out in the marketplace. But What's been happening is a lot of these different industries are becoming very niche or having kind of a specific cryptocurrency, if you will. Am I kind of following that right? Is that kind of the evolution of this Bitcoin cryptocurrency thing?
That's correct. We believe that, as we're going around, every day we have more suppliers struggling with days outstanding, all the inefficiencies that the oil and gas supply chain has. There's a lot of waste. There's a lot of people that understand that they have to become profitable at lower oil prices. So with the continued pressure from the oil and gas drillers for service companies to remain efficient and become more efficient, innovation is key. It's essential. So blockchain or distributed ledger technology is really becoming the real big winner in this, and people are starting to realize the potential for it. And in this case, is that we're onboarding our current suppliers to the blockchain and distributed ledger technology, and we're also getting new suppliers joining every day. Yesterday, we had a supplier join, and they're very keen on accepting KuCoin as for payment. So these are things that as the technology evolves, as we standardize, as we become more standardized, smaller companies are easier to standardize than the larger ones in a lot of cases. So for instance, we can introduce technology on a blockchain for smaller companies very rapidly. And so even though the transactions may be smaller in nature, that doesn't mean that they're any less important in proving out smart contracts and blockchain technology in an everyday sense in oil and gas.
How important was it for you guys to land a international distributor for your next step in this evolution of, hey, I'll be honest, man, the world of oil and gas is changing every day, and a lot of people just thought it was changing at the well site. No, it's changing in every single way, from the office computer to the well site to the pipelines to the bank accounts. And so how important, well, first of all, address that a little bit, if you would. Like, are people like caught off guard that, hey, this isn't some natural gas technology? You're talking about, logistics and money technology here. I think people are caught off guard by that, aren't they?
Yeah, I believe they are. And as an industry, we've been really good at coming up with investing our money into technology at the bit, but we really haven't been good at investing our technology, investing our money in technology that is going to improve back office, efficiency.
To listen to the full-length interview with Chris Ely, CEO of WellSite and KrudeCoin, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. Meridian Energy Group, Inc.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Chase Broussard, the owner of Dealmakers.
And military. A lot of people say it is very similar nowadays versus how it was, you know, 20 years ago. You got the stories of the roughnecks slinging chains and everything. But nowadays, they almost say, like, a lot of the, you know, the different oil and gas sites very much reflect how the military infrastructure is done.
100% agree with you on that. Yeah, it's a brotherhood, right? I don't want to say it like a sexist, but like it's a brother-sisterhood thing, right? Because in the military, you have guys and gals. But when you come together and you all share the same common goal, whether it's serving your country together, right, or you're out serving your company, right, and the industry by working at the well sites, and you develop a camaraderie. You're with those guys more than you're with your family, so to speak. And it's similar in nature because of those small aspects, you know, where you're out and about on a daily basis with these guys, and they're from all walks of life, people you meet from all walks of life, but it's a small world, just like in the military. You're running into people, you're like, man, I served as you in this country, and, you know, they're in a different job title or a different, they're with a different business, you know?
Deal makers. Talk to me about your customers. Who are your customers, and what it is you're doing for them currently?
So, my number one customer is XRI Blue. They're a company out of Midland, Odessa, and I have a number of other companies: J6 Energy Services. I'm working with. I've worked with Halliburton in the past, and Bill or anything. I'm working with private equity groups. I'm actually working with. I'm getting ready to work with an oil company and to help them raise funds for some big projects upcoming. And how I got into this, I guess it's just who I am, right? I make deals. That's what I do. I'm a salesman, and I'm proud of it. I'm very proud of who I am as a salesman. And my goal when I opened up my business was to build equipment, right? But opening a business with the minimum cash flow, and I looked at the business up, and I said, you know what? In order for me to do this, I'm going to have to X amount of cash, and I'm just coming out into the industry to try to be, you know, an entrepreneur, so I got to find a way to do it. Well, how do you build a business? You got to have sales. So I developed Dealmakers because I was told by a very successful CEO who I worked right underneath, and he took me under his wing, and he's my mentor today, Joe Campofilis. He told me, you know, hey, you're good at making deals. Go make them, you know. Go put them together. Go make deals. And they laid me off, and it was the most boring thing that a CEO could have told me, because guess what I did? I embraced that, and I ran with it. And as we sit here today, I'm very successful. I 7X'd my company last year on my first year of business, so things are going great, man.
I think that's fantastic. I remember talking to a guy in the Bakken, up in the Bakken oil fields, in its early days there, where I said, man, somebody could just make a living figuring out deals for different companies, networking different people together, because these energy companies and the midstream companies, they had new problems. And not only new problems, but because there was a new generation of people, the trying to vet and trying to figure out who they could trust and who they couldn't trust became a commodity out there.
That's a good point, man. I mean, that's so true. I faced it. But you know what? You know how you win that? You just be a real person. You be a real. You got to be real. You can't be showing the people that you're dealing with. You can't constantly show them that, oh, it's the shady things that go on within industries. It's not just the oil and gas industry. You, whatever you say, right, all you have in this world is your word, man. You got to stand behind who you are, your name and your word. You've got to do that. And I embrace that. So I can relate to what you're saying, man. The vetting process is amazing. I embrace that vetting process without even realizing it.
But at the same time, like how, you know, there's natural born detectives and there's natural born athletes and there's all these other things. It sounds to me like your pedigree has prepared you for this, because doing what you do, the average person couldn't do. I mean, you grew up, like you said, all the way back to high school, you started being introduced to the energy industry. So you've got a very formidable time of your life that was energy influenced. And then, you know, you talked about the military, same thing. And then that, of course, like we talked about earlier with the context, much of the oil and gas industry is very militaristic now in terms of the kind of the protocols and the infrastructures and a lot of those different things. You know, do you try to go to a well site just unannounced? It ain't happening. It is not happening. So what I'm getting at is that it seems to me that you have been able to figure out a way to make a living in the oil and gas industry based on who you are and what the industry needs that not everybody can do. So congratulations to that. What type of a reaction are you getting from people? Because it is a new concept, but at the same time, it's the oldest concept there is.
Well, most people don't have a problem with it. I'll tell you this. The companies that love my services are the companies that don't have the time to continuously search and look for opportunities when they're purchasing, right? Their purchasing power is there and it operates, but I'm in a different aspect. I go and find the deals because that's what my business is to find the best deal for my customer. So in return, their service is connected and they have what they need and it closes out through me. And they remember me as an individual rather than all of the different fabricators and all the different other vendors that they have to deal with. And quite frankly, I'm not, those fabricators and those other vendors, they don't mind that I'm in the space. They want to work with me because they know that I'm going to bring that same, I'm going to bring that to them. I'm going to bring the revenue to them because I need them just like they need me, right? And I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just real. Some fabricators don't want to pay sales teams, right? They don't want to pay it because they know it's an overhead cost. And I'm eliminating that for some of the fabrication shops I'm working with. So it's a win-win for everyone.
That's exactly right. When you were talking about your business model just there, all I could think of is this friend of mine who left a very nice, large company in the Midwest, and she started a project management company, which I thought, that is genius. How many people need good quality project managers, just like people need good quality salespeople, because the amount of labor that one can go through before they find somebody of quality can nearly bankrupt a company at times. So it's
absolutely, yeah, man, $150,000 a year before you know it, then you got all the costs associated with the projects that they're managing. You know what I mean?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that's like old in the old media world. They used to do a draw, meaning that they'll give you a couple grand a month, but until you produce a couple grand in sales, you ain't even gonna get above that part, you know. And so,
absolutely, man. I sold cars for a living. Right when I got it on, you're waiting for the oil field to pick up, man. I know what you mean. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, I think this is great because I think what you're doing is ahead of its time, which is actually current. They say the future is now. But like I was saying, the project management side of things, me actually branching to the whole content creation side, which is a specialized part too. And then, you know, you've got yourself going in the sales side of things. I do see where professionals are really able to find a little niche business for themselves. And with the social media, the wired world we live in, they're able to really grow their business at a nice manageable rate. And a lot of times that was a problem when they were with companies that the company wanted to either grow too fast or they didn't understand how to embrace change to grow. This way a person can grow at their own pace and, like you said earlier, be honest to their client and say, I can't take that on right now, or, you know, we could take on a lot more, because there is a lot to be said about honest communication and that sort of thing. So kudos to you, man. I'm floored that it's working out for you, and I wish you luck, and I can't wait to hear about more things down the line a little bit. So talk to me about a little bit, you know, last final thoughts, if you will, a little bit. Kind of give me your sales pitch and what you like to tell customers, and kind of final thoughts that you like to leave people. Last word, if you will.
If you're looking for equipment within the industry, please give me an opportunity, because if it's there, I will find it. So my business, from the sales standpoint, I receive the funding from the customer. I then take that funding and I associate it through the vendors that need the cash to move forward the project, and then I manage those projects at the different locations that they are. I have some team members that I have on my team as well to help me, but at the end of the day, I manage the project from start to finish, and then I deliver the project as well.
To listen to the full-length interview with Chase Broussard, the owner of Dealmakers, or listen to other Copy and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Car's dead, the engine's froze. I feel the wind chill down to my toes. Well, I'm glad I don't live too far away. Oh, well, the
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Kevin Lear, president of the North Dakota Buffalo Association and the co-owner of Heartland Bison Ranch.
And working with the cattle. And then your infrastructure costs are going to be a little bit higher just because you're going to need a little bit better fence and a little bit better corral. And that's kind of something that's changed a little bit, too. Like, for the most part, when you go and see like a guy who's putting up a new fence for cattle, if it's four barbed wire, you could modify that fence very quick in order to run bison onto it. And it wouldn't cost you a whole heck of a lot more to do that. But the corral system is where you're going to probably see the biggest difference, where guys who run bison through a corral system, a high-pressure area, those are typically going to be pretty beefed up and pretty heavy. And then it's a lot of low stress handling technique with bison because you'd rather lead them than chase them. So, you know, cattle, you might push them wherever you want to go, just make them go. But with bison, it's more of getting them trained into a specific pattern on how you want to work them through your ranch, whether it's your grazing or your alleyways or whatever, letting them work their way through and figuring it out. And then once they know how you want them to work, then they know kind of what they do. I mean, their intelligence is incredibly high. I mean, I think I put them kind of right there with horses in terms of being able to read people and being able to understand the weak spots and what your operation has for fencing or corrals or anything like that. So, yeah, they're incredibly intelligent, that's for sure.
Talking with Kevin Lear with the North Dakota Bison Association? I'm sorry, the North Dakota Buffalo Association?
Yeah, it's actually the North Dakota Buffalo Association.
Okay, North Dakota Buffalo Association and then Heartland Bison as well. And just talking about the bison industry in general here, and I'm glad you brought up the word drone because I wanted to ask you about if you guys are integrating any of the drone technology into your day-to-day operations, and it sounds like you guys are. Describe that a little bit.
Yeah, it's something like I have a brother who actually is a drone pilot for a company over in outside of Minneapolis, and they started integrating drone technology into some of the things that they're doing with their power plants and transmission lines and stuff. And so over the course of about 3-4 years, we've started to slowly get into it. And now we fly one of our newest drones. What we've started doing is using that specifically for checking herds, which is kind of fun because we can send that thing up and from, you know, the deck of the house on the ranch, we can actually fly to any part of our ranch that we have under our operation at the home ranch there and check it. So with some of the stuff that we can do with our drone, which is really neat, is we can actually program our flight patterns. And so when we fly like a fence line, I can actually program that route and then upload it into the computer. And then when I send the drone up, I can just click hit this route, and the drone itself will actually fly down and do basically a check on the fence lines if there's any trees laying over after a storm or if it's a winter storm. Like last year over Christmas, I kid you not, like we got 17 and a half inches of snow at our ranch over Christmas. And we could not actually get out to the herd for a couple of days until we dug out with snowblower and tractor loaders and stuff to get out there. So what we did just to make sure everything was still where we needed it and no fences were drifted over, we sent the drone up. We checked the entire fence line of that pasture that we had the bison holding in for the winter. We checked to make sure that they still had ample hay out there because we had loaded them up before the storm had hit. And we just let them sit, and they did their thing. They rode that entire blizzard out just fine. We actually go up. We'll take an elevated picture of the entire herd, and then you can just freeze that right on your computer screen, and then it's just a matter of counting the dots, and then you can do your entire animal number check. So that's one of the ways that we've been utilizing our drone a little bit more. And then the other thing that's pretty cool is when we move animals from pasture to pasture, we actually lead them with what we call a cake truck. So it's just a pasture feeder, like a Mighty Handy feeder that has a range mineral cube in it, and they get used to that truck. So as soon as they hear that, they'll actually come in, start coming from a corner of the pasture up to the truck, and then we'll open up gates, take the truck through, and the whole herd will follow you right into the next pasture that we want them to be grazing for, you know, however much time. But we can, at the same time, like, we can send the drone up and send it to the back corner of one of those cells and start actually looking to make sure we can sweep that cell without ever having to send a four-wheeler in or anything like that. Like, we'll know if all the animals have made it through the gate right there from the truck, and then close it up, and away they go into the next pasture grazing. So those are some of the ways that we're using drones that I think is pretty neat kind of management tools.
What's your biggest barriers right now in the industry? What's the biggest issues that you guys are facing?
Well, the biggest issue right now is supply. I would say, we're in a full-blown drive to recruit new ranchers. From the national level all the way down to your state and local level, these associations, the bison industry is kind of unique in the way that there's a very strong network of associations from the national association down to your state and regionals, we call them. So like North Dakota has an association, South Dakota, Montana, Wisconsin, Minnesota, all these places that have bison ranchers that have been doing it for a while. There's this neat network. So there's, from a network standpoint, everybody's trying to drive to get new ranchers to come in to the industry. So that would be one of the challenges. I would say the other challenge is that we do have two specific diseases that we're trying to tackle in the industry to make sure that we have adequate vaccination protocol to handle that. One is mycoplasma, and the other one is malignant catarrhal fever, or MCF, which the beef industry has those diseases to deal with as well. But for bison specifically, the way that those diseases kind of mutate are a little bit differently. So those are some things that we are, from the national level on down, we're very keen on making sure that we have research going in and dollars funding research to make sure that we're on top of those diseases as well. So I would say those are kind of the two big ones, but really it's the drive for four more ranchers to get into it and to see it as a viable option. Might not be, you shift your entire operation over to bison, but the way to potentially diversify your operation, we see that as a definite opportunity for guys in the agricultural sector, because it is definitely a bright spot right now in agriculture, that's for sure.
Any final thoughts? Kevin Lear with the North Dakota Buffalo Association and Heartland Bison, any final thoughts?
Well, I tell everybody this. We call it the bison advantage, and there's some definite good things about being in the bison industry. And I think right now, we're seeing the most stable prices and stable industry kind of across the board, from the cow calf guy to the feeder guy to the processor. Every step of the way, with where our price points are, guys are making a good living raising bison, and I think that's something that we definitely want to tout. We're going into our sale season now. It's our sale season for live animals is pretty seasonal, just because there's not that many animals being sold every year via auction barn or anything like that. And we're going in with, you're talking, 2-year-old bred heifers are going to be somewhere between probably $3,900 to $4,200 a piece. You got heifer calves that are going to be marketed right off the ranches or through sale barns that are going to be somewhere around that, you know, $1,900 to $2,000 mark. And same thing with bull calves. Bull calves will be, you know, they're kind of, they have a prime price on them right now because they're tagged as a slaughter animal. They'll probably be somewhere in that $1,800 to $2,000 mark as well. So our live animal prices are strong. Our market prices for animals on the rail are strong, and we're seeing a consumer from a national level that is wanting more and more of the product that we're producing. So, it's like I said, it's a definite bright spot in agriculture today.
To listen to the full-length interview with Kevin Lear, president of the North Dakota Buffalo Association and co-owner of the Heartland Bison Ranch, or to listen to other Copy and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Copy and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
To get your mind blown. Mind blown, your mind blown. I'll show you something that's never been shown. Mind blown, your mind blown. And that's all you need to know.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Copy and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, our Kids in Capitalism feature with multimedia kidpreneur Otis, interviewing U.S. Congressman Kevin Cramer.
My name is Otis, and I'm with the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. With me today is Chris Olson, co-owner of Treasure Island. And we have a few questions for him. Number one, what was your first job, Chris?
My first job was actually sorting papers for my dad here at Treasure Island. Back then, we were in West Acres, down in the basement, and he would have so much business happening, so many deals going on, that he'd have all these different papers everywhere around his desk. And I wanted to hang out with Dad and help him somehow, and so he'd say, okay, Chris, go through and pick up all these different papers over here, and then I want you to alphabetize them. And so I would do that based on the name of whoever the person was that sent the invoice or the paper, and I'd get them into stacks. And then I'd put them into folders that had that person's name on it. So I could save him a lot of time and make sure that everything was organized and sorted by date. And so, yeah, that's how I got started. I think I was probably, maybe 6 or 7 years old back when I was sorting papers for my dad.
Did you get paid doing it or not?
Yeah, he would give me, you know, a couple bucks to go play some video games over at Pirate's Den, because we had Pirate's Den in the mall back then, and so you had the big arcade games where you could pop the quarters in and
up down left right A B start.
Oh, that was Nintendo.
No, that's Konami.
Yeah, that's Konami, who made the game on the Nintendo system. So you're talking about Contra, up up down down left right left.
3D lives, lives.
Yeah, Contra. So that's a great game. I loved Contra. But yeah, I spent a lot of time playing video games. And that's how I got so smart.
You just made the Galaga. You just made the Galaga sound when you die. You did that.
Well, that's good. That's good.
How do you make money with gold?
So the way that we make money with gold, a lot of people think that we buy gold when it's a low price and then we sell it when it's a higher price. But that's not what we do. That would actually be called speculating, and we don't speculate at all. What we do is we purchase gold from refineries and mints and other people who have gold or silver that they want to sell. And when we do it, we simultaneously sell it in a paper market, and that's called a hedge. So if I buy gold for $1,300, if I buy 100 ounces of gold for $1,300, I'll simultaneously sell 100 ounces of gold for $1,300 on paper on a market like the COMEX. And then the price of gold, if it's going up or it's going down, I'm protected from that movement in price. And so where we make our money is what we call it's on the spread. So if we have, say, a 10-ounce gold bar, and the price of gold is $1,300. I might be buying gold at $10 per ounce over the price of gold, and then I'm selling it for $20 over the price of gold. So I'm making $10 on a $13,000
profit. Profit, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not a lot of profit. The gold industry is very, very competitive at our level because our major business is wholesale. So we distribute gold all over the country. And so we have a very, very thin profit margin, and it requires us to manage the risk and to hedge and use derivatives and different instruments. So it's pretty complicated. Not a lot of people know how to do it that way.
What is the coolest thing you've bought or sold or found from a metal detector at Treasure Island?
Well, the coolest thing that we've bought or sold, man, it's been so many things.
Or found.
Well, my dad has found ancient Celtic gold coins. He found a Roman gold signet ring that was used by a Roman official to stamp a wax seal for the envelopes that he would send to other people. So my dad has a gold ring with a wax seal, or with a signet ring that is used for stamping. My dad has found a papal bulla in a ancient Roman battlefield in England. And so that was a big lead seal that the Pope would use to seal a communication that he was sending somewhere else to some other country. And so my dad found one of those buried in the ground.
It was lead?
Yeah, it's a lead seal. It was lead, yep.
Yeah, it's
painted
poisonous.
Lead. Yeah, lead is, yeah, you got to watch out for lead. So he's found lots of cool stuff, and we buy all kinds of cool things. Right now we have two sterling silver elephants with real ivory tusks.
Singing it like we did in the good old days. Yeah, we're singing it like they did in the good old days, because we're back to the way.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Back to the way. Oh, 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 back to the way. So back to the way. Oh, 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 back to the way. Back to the way. Oh, 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 back to the way.
Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick, Jack, will not jump over the candlestick. Why don't you do now, like the millionaires do? Put your stuff on the market, that you can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Seems like no matter who I talk to in the world of business these days, people are telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what Jeff Schatz, superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, has to say about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching.
I just thought that his story about how he talks about the struggles that he and his family went through and having children, and how, you know, everybody has a hot mess, and how do you deal with that in life? And I just thought that really resonates well with, you know, folks. And so I thought that would be a great message for everybody to hear. Well, then beyond that, I've also seen Eric do some of the other things that he does with emceeing and leading other types of things that he does. He does coaching, I know, with students, where the principals have hired him to come in and do that. So I just extended that opportunity for him to be the MC too. He was very well received.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.